Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program to address the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Last weekend in May is the unofficial start of summer, and Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May. It's observed to honor the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military, originally known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. In honor of Memorial Day today, I'll be visiting with members of the San Luis Obispo Veterans Services Collaborative, or SVSC, about how we can honor the sacrifice of Americans who served in the U.S. Armed Forces by supporting veterans and active military and their families in our community. My guests for today's show are Paul Worsham, president of the San Luis Obispo Veterans Service Collaborative, and Alan McKean, the collaborative's treasurer. This show is live, and you can be part of our discussion by calling us at area code 805-781-3875. And one more time, 805-781-3875. And gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
Hi, Chris. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great. And let's talk about the San Luis Obispo Veterans Collaborative first and how that got started, when it got started, and a bit about why. So I'm going to go ahead and start with you.
The Veterans Collaborative is now a nonprofit charitable corporation. It's about 16 months old, and it started simply because of the generosity of the San Luis Obispo community. I was working for the last 5 years as a mentor in the Veterans Treatment Court, and The young veterans that I was working with, and most of them were younger, not of my age, which is Vietnam era, they needed services. They needed housing and employment, a lot of mental health services. All of them were abusing substances, drugs, and virtually all of them had PTSD. So as we tried to help them, we found there was a great deal of help available in this community, but sorting through them all, there are multiple service providers for housing. Some you require no income. Some will have some income, and some have vouchers, and some do not. So sorting through all of that, and the same with employment, there's a lot of employment service providers, we realized that it needed to be organized, and this information needed to be coordinated and communicated to each other, because a service provider is the best avenue for telling about other services.
Right.
So that's kind of how this got started. We now have over 150 different organizations in the collaborative. We have monthly meetings, and we just had our first resource fair, which brings together many of those service providers along with employers at one place at one time so the veterans can find them. So connections is a large part of our mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is astounding with, you know, this county has over, I think, 1,000 nonprofit organizations. But trying to navigate through those and understand the unique identity of each and how to access them and how to connect them is something that I think is challenging to every population. So good for you. Good for you for doing
that. We get a lot
of
support. And as we were talking earlier, our job is to manage the support. Mm-hmm. And since we're so new, we haven't really outreached to the general community.
Mm-hmm.
The veterans know about us, the veterans services organizations, but the larger community isn't aware of what they can do to support veterans in San Luis Obispo, which is why we're thrilled with this invitation to be on KCBX.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're here because this is both timely and I think a great topic. And you, Ellen, are with the Employment of
State of California Development Board. Veteran Services.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're coming into this. Obviously, you have you're a veteran.
Yes, I am. Navy. Yes,
you're Navy.
Yeah, Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you're coming into this both as a vet
mm-hmm.
and also as somebody who is trying to connect employers
exactly
and be an advocate for vets in an employment situation.
Exactly, it was a great fit. You know,
yeah.
It all started with an email from Paul. Believe it or not. I had met him earlier at a meeting, and all of a sudden I got this email that said, "Hey, Alan, I think you have something that might be interesting to you." So a year and a half later, here we are. And I think the collaborative, though, I'm just buttressing what Paul had to say, is critically needed here. I've been in the veterans service line now for about 6.5 years here in the county. And it's almost bewildering, not only to younger veterans who are getting out of the service, but to older veterans, too, about what services are available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have Korean War veterans, quite frankly, who still don't know what services are out there, and even some from World War II,
right.
Let alone Desert Storm and Desert Shield, right up to present, not alone Vietnam. But the collaborative, I think, is important as an entity because it is going to provide services and make available those services to people who just critically need them now.
How did you start? How did you reach out?
There's one of the founders has moved on to Utah. Bob Ellis mm-hmm. Was with the Support Services for Veterans Families. He was the director of. So he and I kind of put our heads together and said, you know, what we need here is some sort of organization for all of these services. And he had access to the VA, and they actually have a manual how to put together a collaborative. So he got a hold of that, and we put together a pilot committee, if you will, which included Alan, and just started going around to the people we knew in the service community and saw immediately there was a great recognition for the need and enthusiasm. And when we had our first meeting 16 months ago, over 50 people showed up.
50 different organizations.
50 different organizations,
really?
And it stayed steady.
Mm-hmm.
Last Christmas, I was astounded to see 50 people at a meeting at near Christmas time.
Yeah.
But there's a self-interest as well.
Of course.
We're there to support them.
Yes.
And we try very hard not to take away from their programs. An example is this resource fair. We operated that. Our treasurer is sitting there and shaking his head. We operated on a shoestring
mm-hmm.
With a few donations from service groups. The county chipped in some money. We don't want to take money away from existing programs.
Right. And so when the collaborative comes together, what are you doing in your monthly meetings? Are you talking about what services are offered, how to better integrate them together, how to make referrals?
Yeah, we do that. And the meetings, I think, are very interesting because the collaborative itself is not just a list of names and that kind
sure.
of thing. They're organized into service provider types. You have health and you have, you know, employment and you have housing and the various groups and that kind of thing. So at each meeting, each group gives a report. We have what's called a spotlight, which goes ahead and enables the members to go ahead and present their services and what they do. And it's also a nice opportunity for those providers to network among themselves. And a lot of them have gotten a lot of value out of that. So the meetings themselves are organized and they're provider centric. It's not the mm-hmm. you know, collaborative show. It's about the providers themselves, and I think people get value from that when they attend. And
right.
I think that was reflected in the resource fair. And you know, Paul and I kind of kid about that. It was on training wheels this year, right? Because it's brand new, but It was very successful just simply because our providers made it successful. And the organization and the people that we had working on it, and Sandy Murray, who was with Haslow, and a number of other folks, just did it right. So next year we know how we're going to improve it, but the meetings themselves enabled that resource fair to be held. It really worked.
And is this a way of integrating services that maybe can't be provided through the Veterans Administration locally, so that it's an adjunct to what they're receiving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Veterans Service Office, which is a county office full of county employees, mm-hmm. interfaces veterans with the VA, with the federal
right.
authorities. Their primary purpose is benefits,
mm-hmm.
to make sure you're getting the benefits that you're entitled to, helping you with the paperwork, helping you with filing, helping you with following up. And they have several people doing that.
Right.
They don't also have time to work on housing and employment and these other issues. So they would refer to outside services outside of their offices. We're trying to facilitate that. One of the things that has happened and make our lives easier short term, and I think really much more effective long term, is the development of 211. 2 years ago, I had never heard of 211.
Yes, yes.
They came in and made a presentation to the collaborative and said, we would like to be that simplifying tool so that people can call one number
right.
and find the services that they need. You tell us what the questions are to expect, and then we will put that into our program of responses. We'll have it on the internet and also by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Homeless particularly may not have access to internet, but they have cell phones and they can dial 211.
Right.
So in that way, we can speed up the delivery of these 150-plus services to just the people they need it when they need it. You couldn't create an office like that
no.
to do it. It would be, you know, huge.
Yeah. And so, this is already manned 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funded by Goodwill, isn't it?
Well, by United Way.
United
mm-hmm. Way. Yeah.
Yeah. United Way, absolutely. With we were talking about coming in the different needs of the veterans in this county. Do you know approximately how many? Is there an estimation of how many veterans there are in this county?
Over 17,000 is the latest census mm-hmm. numbers.
That's a mm-hmm. significant number.
It is, and that makes it about 7% of the total population, which is slightly less than California, which is closer to 10%.
Wow.
About 64% of Vietnam. And then you have descending percentages from there as far as the various
yes.
other eras and
so
all that.
So the majority
kind of thing.
Are Vietnam vets?
Vietnam mm-hmm. vets, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the majority are in the North County?
Of the Vietnam mm-hmm. vets?
Well, of veterans.
Of veterans in general.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
A lot of that is cost of housing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But that is a challenge in this county. It's almost, you know, like the state, that linear multiple regions. We have North County and South County and Central County, and we're all trying to service them. So
mm-hmm.
the Veterans Service Office has people that work, you know, they have the main office here in San Luis Obispo, but they try and have people in Rio Grande Library twice a week and the same up in Paso Robles.
Mm-hmm.
So again, being stretched out, how do we keep everybody connected? And that's what we're trying to do.
And does the Veterans Service Office have resources up in North County? They have
an office.
An office.
And they also are developing a kind of a traveling trailer, whatever you want to call it, for lack of better words, to go ahead and bring to various communities. For instance, the coast. In my job with the EDD, I go out all the time. So I go to Cambria or I'll go to Paso and that kind of thing, just simply because you have to do the outreach in this county. Otherwise, it's just
absolutely.
Not going to work.
It's not going to come to
no.
you.
No, yeah. no but the VSO, they do a nice job. They have good people.
Great.
Yeah.
This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker, on KCBX Public Radio, airing from Salinas to Santa Barbara and around the globe. on the web at kcbx.org. My guests today are Slo Veterans Service Collaborative representatives, Paul Worsham, who is the president, and Alan McCain, who is the treasurer. Mm-hmm. And we're talking today about Slo Veterans Services and in honor of Memorial Day and what kind of resources are available through collaboration that's been developed for multiple nonprofits in the community to augment what is already available through some of the veteran services that are being offered. Today, you can be one of our guests along with these two gentlemen and bring your voice to the conversation by joining us at 805-781-3875. And again, that's 805-781-3875. And we're going to let Craig join us right now from San Luis Obispo. Craig, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say that, is this the same group that just had the event at Cuesta College?
Yes.
Well, that was the best VA thing I've ever been to.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you for saying so, Craig.
Craig, that sounds like you were really moved by it, too. What was special about that?
Well, I got connected with, actually, I've been on two kayak trips with two different vet groups now, and it's something I really needed to do. It really helped me out with my PTSD.
So, Craig, let me ask you something. What prompted you to come to the fair?
I saw it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a few in the past at the Vets Hall here in San Luis. And they were pretty good, actually. But this one was really just by far.
Was there something that stood out about this one for you, Craig?
It was well organized, and it had a lot of different vendors there with veterans assistance and job opportunities more than I've seen before. And
what were you in anything specific that you were looking for, Craig, when you came there?
For me, connecting more. I've gotten my benefits now, and that's taken, you know, over a 15-year period. I finally got my benefits organized and still working on that and learn the system. And I've gotten functional enough to be able to do it. There's a lot of guys out there that can't pull it together yet, get the system. It's so difficult, but it's nice to see somebody's organizing it, because when you try to do it yourself, it's so scattered, and to try to keep up with it, it's almost impossible.
That's great feedback, Craig. There was a word you used that we're still trying to get our arms around, connection, that you came out to try and get connected with other veterans and with the veterans community. When we looked at the evaluations after the event, we saw that there was a significant number of people who didn't come for employment, who didn't come for VA benefits. They came for another unspecified purpose. And we're starting to evaluate that and say, I think a lot of people just came to be connected.
Connected, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to connect with different groups, the American Legion and VFW and whatnot, but I have a hard time connecting with different vets. I'm not a flag waver. I'm proud of what I did, and I'm ashamed of what I did.
Well, which service were you in, Craig?
I was Air Cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, the only place I went was Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw enough nasty stuff there.
Are you working with the Vet Center, Craig?
Yeah, and actually I've been through some pretty good therapy, which has helped me out a lot, which helped me get through my claim process.
For listeners who don't know who the Vet Center is, the VA and the VA clinic addresses the needs of the entire veterans population. The Vet Center is a separate organization, separately funded from the VA, and they are addressing specifically the needs of combat veterans,
mm-hmm.
We have a facility here on Southwood run by Mike Young, and their counselors are very experienced in dealing with PTSD and with and it goes on, as Craig is saying. He was Korea War era. It's not just...
Not the, war. I wasn't there during the war. No, I was there in the 80s.
It was... it's not just the post 9/11, the Gulf War and Afghanistan veterans who experienced PTSD. There are Vietnam veterans and Korean veterans and still some World War II veterans,
right,
who need therapy, who mm-hmm. need counseling. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Vet Center does mm-hmm. very, very well.
And Craig, too, for, you know, thank you for calling in, and thank you for giving the feedback to these two gentlemen, because it sounds like they have the right direction going in terms of meeting some of the needs of what you were looking for, and they should continue down that path.
Absolutely. I think it was great. I was really... really impressed.
Well, best of luck to you, Craig.
And it really did help me connect with, and I didn't even realize it myself till we were talking about it, how much I, it just was a nice, different way of connecting with vets, different than the American Legion and stuff like that. There's a lot of drinking and stuff, and I'm not against drinking. I drink myself, but that's not what I'm there for.
Yeah.
This thing was the most, more educational, more intellectual, it was more of the speed I needed, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of helps you feel whole rather than broken, huh?
Well, Craig, just thank you for the support as far as the collaboration, but more importantly, just thank you for continuing to take those steps that you need to do, because the tail just does not need to wag the dog. So, my friend, just keep up the good work, will you?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good
You're
luck,
welcome.
Craig.
Okay, bye-bye.
Craig also mentioned kayaking.
Yeah.
There is an organization, it's a county office, it's part of county health services, mm-hmm. Called Veterans Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And they are regularly scheduling recreational activities for veterans. It could be surfing, horseback riding, kayaking, all sorts of activities. And it goes to this connection. Yes,
yeah.
It's good physical therapy. Yes, it's good mental therapy. But there's something about that I think all of veterans miss, that family connection mm-hmm. we had in the service. Mm-hmm. And I hear it over and over and over again. Can we as a collaborative provide some of that family? I think it's
cohesiveness
a worthy
and the togetherness.
Goal.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Agree more.
Yeah, there've been studies, haven't there, on the kind of family that gets developed, the kind of intimacy that gets developed, especially for not only for those in combat, but just generally in an environment where you're working as a team, or where you're working
yes.
in this kind of an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shared experience, mm-hmm. but it's also a shared experience of an understanding that you're not just there for yourself. You lose that.
Your father, when he came out of the service after the Second World War, probably joined the American Legion or
Correct.
Some other
yeah.
social veterans yeah. organization, and that was the thing to do.
Yes.
It's not the thing to do as much anymore. And the American Legion, the VFW, have wonderful veterans communities
yes.
and
yes.
Very supportive of the larger veterans community, but it's not right for everybody.
Right.
So there's sort of a void there, we're noodling on that.
Mm-hmm.
How can we fill that void?
Right. Yeah. It's so. And if for wives or dependents of people who serve in the military in the past, they would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's best friend, she died when she was 91, and they'd been friends since 17. So. You know, that's crazy. You don't see a lot of that anymore.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mark. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Did you have a comment or question?
Oh, I was talking about the auxiliary programs that go along with the VA.
Yes.
The VA, the SSBF program, San Luis Obispo, helped me so much get into a home. I was in a recovery home in 2016 in Middle House in San Luis Obispo, and they put me in contact with the SSB program. And they went above and beyond to get me a home. I now live in Grover Beach with my sister, who I hadn't seen for 28 years. They got us both in a place. And the medical that I've been getting, it's the community care program through the Veterans Choice. I've been working with them, and I've had it on April 5th. I had a tumor removed from my bladder. It was the VA in LA set it up so I could have it done close by. They're exactly what this program's talking about, the auxiliary programs that help the VA at the veterans. It's just been amazing. I've gotten amazing service to that.
How were you able to find those programs, Mark?
Through the office at the Veterans Building on Brand. They started a wonderful woman there, Rocio. I don't know her last name, but Rocio at the Veterans Building there. She got me, she was the one who got me all started on this. And the Middle House, the recovery home I was in, put me in touch with her. And ever since then, everything's been wonderful. I've gotten clean and sober. I drive bus for Ride On, United Cerebral Palsy now. And all because of the help I've been getting through these programs.
Well, Mark, this is Alan. And I was with SSVF for about 3 years. And I believe I met you in the past. But I'll pass those fine words on to my good friends over at SSVF because they really do a fine job. And just personally, I'm just so happy that you are where you are and going into a really good space right now.
But it's been wonderful. And Jeanette Sinez
is
the person at SSVF that worked her tail off for me to get me in a place.
Yeah, she's very good at what she does, and she's very hard working at it. But that program itself, I don't know if you know that about that particular program. It's ranked in the top 5 in the United States. And it took a while to get there, but they're very proud of that. But just the fact that they could go ahead and do what they have done for you, makes it all worthwhile. And just hearing that, I'll make sure they understand that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Bet.
Thank you for calling and sharing that, Mark.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. You had mentioned that, Paul, that this is, for veterans, a very supportive county. What did you mean by that?
Good example is support services for veterans' families. Each community is, although it's funded by grants from the VA, it has to be put together here locally. And Alan, perhaps you know more about this than I do, but I see the end result. I see a very robust community service, very involved in employment and in housing. And really, all the services that are almost a one-stop shop. So I think that's kind of the tip of the iceberg. And then they are supported by CAPSLO.
Right.
They're supported by HUD. You know, this is military, so we have endless acronyms.
And there are actually 2 SSVF programs in the county. There's
and
Good
SSVF
Samaritan
is...
Supportive Service for Veterans Families.
Okay.
And the Good Samaritan Shelter has the South County SSVF program. And CAPSLO, Community Action Partners San Luis Obispo, has the overall county program. So there's 2.
Oh, it's great to know that.
As your listeners hear us rattle off acronyms and yeah. services, I presume they're all sitting there writing these notes. But how to get them, that becomes the challenge. How do we get your listeners to these services?
Sure.
211, good place to start.
Yeah.
The County Veterans Service Office, pretty easy to find in whatever your directory is. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/slowVSC. We try and keep those names and addresses and connections and links on our Facebook page.
Great.
So we're trying again to simplify down, get these 150 plus organizations so they're readily accessible.
Yes, excellent. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. Since we're heading into the Memorial Day weekend, today's show has been focused on Memorial Day and the veteran men and women for the day. We're honoring them by talking about how our community is serving some of the resources that you may or may not know or provided for them. My guests are San Luis Obispo County Veterans Services Collaborative representatives, Paul Worsham, who's the president of that, and Ellen McKean, the treasurer. We'd love for you to bring your voice into the conversation, as Jack is going to in just a moment, and Mark just did a few seconds ago. You can call us at 805-781-3875. 805-781-3875, and we'll go to Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I'm a Vietnam vet from the 68 era, and I live in outside of San Luis. I've been up here for about 6 years, and I've been employed by the former Secretary of the VA back in 1968, Max Cleland, as a congressional aide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was assigned to work with Steeplechase Films, Ken Burns, and Rick Burns as a veteran advisor. And in the meantime, I've been working a lot with veterans as a veteran advocate, because I've been finding so many veterans, like the past two callers, who are marginalized and out of touch with a lot of the programs available. So my employment ended when the new White House took over. So I've been advertising myself as a veterans advocate, and I've got some excellent connections that I can use to help veterans that have run the whole gamut of appeal processes and been denied. I've been through the same thing for over 20 years and was finally connected with the right person, and I know the value of having somebody who has that experience, and I would love to work or at least talk to Paul and Alan after the show or online and offer my services if that's okay.
Paul, do you want to, or Alan, which one? Paul, you want to give a phone number that Jack can call you at?
I sure would. Jack, call 805-270-2988, and I'll be happy to talk with you.
Great.
You can also email to slovsc1@gmail.com.
Okay.
And we have four task force groups right now: housing, employment, and health, and they're very active. The fourth group, advocacy, is something that we haven't gotten off the ground yet, and I think you could be some significant help to us.
And Jack, we meet the second Tuesday of every month over at the Veterans Building on Grand. So
What time do you meet there?
10 o'clock, and go ahead and just come on in and sit down and partake and enjoy. And I have to say, you worked with a very special guy in Max Cleland. I mean, he was one of a kind. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that Max dated my wife when they were in college.
Oh,
and I had and I had no idea Max was my radio guy in the first cav when we were there. We were in the same platoon.
Oh, my gosh.
We reconnected years later when he was I was asking him about how do I go about getting my benefits, because I was denied because they couldn't find my paperwork. Anyway, long story short, we started talking about where we were in Vietnam, and it came up that we were in the same platoon at the same time, and I was shot, and he was blown up a week later, and we went through the rest of our lives, you know, out of touch. But he's really been a big help. I just talked to him yesterday, and he's been in critical health for a while, but he's coming back. But he's put me in touch with Bob McDonald, who now is a good friend of mine, and the former VA secretary, Dr. Shulkin. So I know the procedure, and I've been able to help people that have been through the process and have just given up. And by word of mouth, they get to me, and I can get their cases in front of the right people and get things moving. But, yeah, I would love to work with you guys. My pleasure.
Well, great. Thanks for calling.
Look forward
Jack.
To talking
Thank you.
To you.
All
Look
right.
forward
Thank
to talking
you.
To you.
Take
okay.
care.
Look forward to seeing you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
So we've got we're doing pretty good on time. We've got about 25 minutes. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, you had mentioned before we came on the air that you're really seeing a difference in the different kind of veterans and what their needs are. And you're seeing a lot of the Vietnam vets here, if that's 60% of the population.
Well, with EDD in my, my real life job, I see all eras. My youngest has been 22, mm-hmm. and my oldest has been 94, and so it kind of cuts across all the swath. But there's a commonality in there, and the commonality that is in there is that the men and women who come before us all want to go ahead and make complete a portion of their lives in which, that was extremely important to them, and to move on and to get going with what is ahead of them. I mean, that's a commonality. It doesn't matter if it's Vietnam or Desert Shield or Kuwait, whatever it may be. But all of them, and we were mentioning this, you and I were all of us were talking before
right.
we came on the air, about that shared experience.
Yeah.
That's the commonality of it. There's a shared experience because
right.
I don't care if I'm Vietnam era or Vietnam veteran or whatever. I can speak to somebody from the 2010 era and we can all share that same experience. May not be the exact experience, but we can talk the language.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing about the collaborative. That's one thing. There is a commonality with the collaborative, and it is a commonality of purpose.
Yeah. And the purpose is to serve the veteran.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
I think one of the, when Alan and I were in Vietnam, I was there in 65, 66. Mm-hmm. You were there in 67, 68. We served a tour of combat,
mm-hmm.
came home, and started our lives.
Right, and you were done, yeah.
We were done.
Yeah.
The young men now are serving and doing 5 tours of combat, 6 tours
yeah.
of combat. It's not only the stresses on them personally, and we're certainly seeing that with substance abuse and trauma-related illnesses, but you can't keep a family.
No.
So the lack of family support, I think, is huge difference between
yeah.
our era and the current era.
Yeah.
We had that. I don't think they have it as much.
And is there as much support for dependents of military here? Is that something that's built into the collaborative as well?
It is. I mentioned the Vet Center earlier.
Right.
They will counsel the wives of PTSD combat veterans, which is hugely important.
Yes.
There's the victim is not just the veteran, it is his spouse as well. And that then comes down to the children. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, there are family counseling and SSVF, Support Service for Veterans Families.
Okay.
So this is very family-oriented and focused veteran service.
And let's not forget the resource fair, because the resource fair was also for families and spouses
it's
and that kind of thing. I mean, we want to make sure that is also well known, because the veterans they have to have that support group, and there's no point in having a resource fair without the families and the people that give them that support.
So that's also who's coming to the resource fair.
Definitely.
As well as the
mm-hmm.
family,
yes.
not
Definitely.
Only the veterans.
Yes.
Okay.
We
Great.
Had planned a lot more
bounce houses.
Activities, and then it rained.
Oh, it rained.
Face
Our
painting
bounce
and,
house and
yeah,
face painting
that,
and yeah. some other things kind of yeah. got rained out. But, yes, that is definitely a focus of the collaborative. It's a focus of this community. We're not just
mm-hmm.
about veterans, but but veterans' families.
Yeah. And how do you see that the community could do a better job of supporting the veterans?
Some things are outside of our control.
Sure.
For instance.
But if you were to say you could do better at this.
We need landlords. We need landlords desperately. This is it's partly a function of San Luis Obispo and being a highly competitive market for apartments. California needs more construction. We can't wait for that. We have existing housing that is not being made available to veterans. And right now there are, I checked just a day or so ago, there are 18 vouchers, which means a voucher will pay for rent. The veterans have these vouchers and no place to take them.
So they've got these, they can activate them.
The government guarantees the rent, and they can't find a landlord to
take. And they can't find a place to pay it.
That's not within our control, and it is.
Right.
Part of the reason we want to outreach is to say, please, if you have an apartment, you have a room, you have something over your garage, something that can take, and these are not just individual veterans, but these are 18 family vouchers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. What else?
Exactly. Well, the employers are coming around. From the employment standpoint, we just need to get the military speak and the civilian speak together so that they can go ahead and understand each other.
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is a military resume does not really translate to a civilian resume.
No.
And the terminologies are different and that kind of thing. A lot of people don't understand in the civilian world that if you have a sergeant or if you have a Navy petty officer or whatever, they can be almost lower mid-level management or mid-level management because of the sheer amount of responsibility that they carry. And so that's an educational aspect that's really important as far as the employment group is concerned with the collaborative. And it's the same in the health task group and that kind of thing. It's a matter of community understanding and education is really what it is.
So is it educating for you? Is it educating the community how to read that resume?
Is it also
educating the veteran and how to rewrite it?
Well, one of the enlightening things that we did, I guess, last February was we had five or six employers come together with about seven or eight veterans. And of the seven or eight veterans that we have, four were relatively new veterans. Two had not had employment before, so they were cold, coming right out, cold turkey. And it was just interesting to let them talk for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and it was this terminology, what did you mean? I didn't understand that. And so it proved the point.
Yeah.
And so, it's an educational aspect. On the positive side, though, we're mentioning outreach. This morning I went to Good Morning Slow at Grace Church, and that's very popular and that kind of thing. And about 3 months ago, I went ahead and did a soapbox over there, the two-minute little, here we are, this is what we do. So since that time, like just this morning, I've had five or six people and four or five organizations come up wanting to join the collaborative. Mm-hmm. People come up to me during, tell what's going on with the collaborative. So there's a little bit of a buzz out there. But that's critically important simply because it is needed and it shows the interest that is being generated by the collaborative.
Yeah. No, that's terrific. Yeah. Absolutely terrific. Donna, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I've just been listening to the conversation. I wanted to speak a little bit about something that actually you went ahead and in a very good way brought it up, and that is the effect of the veterans' experience on families, which I've had extensive experience with. I am the daughter of a World War II veteran who was part of the D-Day landings, the third day of them, in France in World War II, and who was shot in the right eye. He lost his right eye, my father, and had traumatic brain injury. And I have a very extensive experience in veterans affairs, and it's so long that I'm actually working on a book. But briefly... He committed suicide when I was four, and then I also have, every man in my family has been a veteran. I had a cousin who was in Vietnam, and he died a few years ago of esophageal cancer from being exposed to Agent Orange. My ex-husband was a Vietnam veteran. All my high school friends were Vietnam veterans. And I actually helped, my ex-husband was the first director of the Veterans Outreach Clinic in Santa Barbara when it first opened up in the 80s. And as far as that goes, it's the veterans themselves, in my experience, who have done the most for each other. The Veterans Outreach Clinics were started by Shad Meshad. I don't know if any of you know that name or are familiar with it. Many of the Vietnam era veterans are, and I was privileged to work with him a bit. When they started the clinics because the VA was not addressing, you know, the PTSD and veterans issues well enough, so they started the clinics themselves, which the VA eventually then became embarrassed by the fact that the clinics run by the vets themselves were becoming so successful, so they finally took it under the wing of the VA. But that's a long story. That's what happened to my father, too, is he went to, you know, the veterans hospital offices when he was having PTSD. All they did, you know, was give him heavy medications, which he wouldn't take. My mother said he flushed him down the toilet, and they never had counseling, you know, like they do now. So what I worked on in Santa Barbara was because of my – what happens with the veterans affects the families very heavily. I myself was diagnosed with chronic PTSD in 1986, and a lot of people don't realize that actually women have a higher rate of PTSD than men in general. But we hear a lot, of course, about the veterans' PTSD because it's so traumatic and dramatic because it's caused by war experience. But the families are heavily affected for generations, and mine has been. And when the VA clinics started in Santa Barbara, I wanted to make sure that the issue of the families was addressed. And the psychologist, who was the first psychologist at the clinic, didn't want to have therapy classes, therapy for the families at all. They tried to reject it. And it kind of the clinics, in a way, the clinic there anyways, part of that you were talking about earlier, how the men have a bonding with each other that goes beyond, you know, because of their traumatic war experiences and stuff, goes beyond even their bonding with their families a lot of the time. And the families, the children and the spouses will be pushed out of that bond, which makes it even more difficult for the cohesion of the family. And so I wanted to work on that issue, and I persisted. They did not want to have therapy for the families, and I said, you have to. You cannot treat the vets without addressing their family issues also. And finally, they hired a psychiatrist, a female, and she started a therapy class, and I was the only one in it for a while. I was the only woman who came.
Donna, you know, those things have, in fact, really been changing.
They have improved a great deal.
Yeah.
Which is good. But you still don't hear enough in the general media and stuff about the effect of the veterans' experience on the families. And I was really glad that you talked about it just now. That was great. And it's great to hear that this has improved, and it's critical, and it's also critical for the healing of the veteran himself, too, is for the family to be enfolded.
Sure.
You know,
and part of the support,
too. And I'm glad
too.
To hear that that's happening.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, Donna.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And it's great that it's part of the whole system that you're putting together, and when you're doing the resource fair, that is part of the resources. So Donna brings up a really good point.
It's sad to hear that it was not like that in the past, but it certainly has improved significantly now.
It is, and it. I work with wives and families of veterans and that kind of thing, and in my world, the
disabled veteran, 30%, specially disabled veteran, et cetera, with the Department of Labor. The last category are the spouse and the families and that kind mm-hmm. of thing as far as in ranking and that kind
right.
of thing. So, but I don't care. I move it up a little bit. It doesn't make a bit of difference. But it's interesting, you know, we're talking about families and all of that kind of thing and getting to the heart of the matter. Anytime a veteran is wounded or you have a killed in action or whatever it may be, that particular person, the spouse or the brother or the sister or the father or the mother, are left with that for the rest of their lives. Now, we just had the Vietnam War, you know, the memorial here in March, which was phenomenally successful.
Yes.
That was 13,000 people in that whole thing. You know, I kind of like to see the next memorial dedicated to the survivors of people who are killed or wounded in action. That's something that always gets, you know, because if you figure you have 500 veterans who were killed, then you're talking probably about 3,000 people who are affected, and you never hear about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the services right now, as far as basic allowance and housing and that kind of thing, and under Secretary Mattis, he has done everything he can to approve it. Congress went ahead and just cut basic allowance for housing 3 days ago. And for now, there's going to be affected about 5,000 immediately active duty Army personnel. Now there's mm-hmm. going to be about 10,000 Navy. So it's still inconsistent at the upper levels. But I think Donna's call was right on, because it's the families that provide the true support system for each and every service member.
Yeah. It's also you're now not just seeing men in the military. You know, so you're seeing integration of women in the military,
right.
So that the families and those individuals that are left behind
are
men too.
We're not entirely prepared to deal with those new women combat veterans.
Right.
By census, 7% of the 17,000 veterans are women.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the Veterans Treatment Court, we struggle to find mentors for women who come through the court, and everyone must have mm-hmm. a mentor. On a couple of occasions, we've had to ask our spouses to help out, to mentor, and so we're adapting, and I think that goes for everyone in the collaborative. Everybody is trying to adapt to these changes of needs, generational, and era.
Mm-hmm. And you have the trans community that is involved now with the services.
Right.
You have all of that aspect.
Right.
There's going to be the psychological aspects of addressing their needs in the future.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you've got all of these different dynamics that have come in. And quite frankly, I didn't have to deal with it in my era. And a lot of the people in Desert Storm didn't have to deal. So it's very much a changing dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think that dynamic is brought upon by the shifting demographic in the United States. Because the armed services reflect, you know, the demographic of the country in which they represent. So the collaborative, I think, how that's going to be valuable is the fact that we, in the future, at the collaborative, can go ahead and increase the support and increase the participation of those communities. And so I think our ability to go ahead and to adapt is going to be good.
And I want to point out that the collaborative is from it. You have members from Santa Maria.
Mm-hmm.
You have members from Santa Barbara County.
Yes.
So it's not just San Luis Obispo,
yes.
And it is representatives from all of San Luis Obispo County as well. So, you know, if we have just a couple of minutes, and I want to make sure that we put a call out for the things that we want to make sure that you get across.
Simply hire a vet, house a vet, and help a vet. But for vets, they can help themselves. There are volunteering opportunities for vets, and I presume we have a large number in our audience today. They can come to the collaborative and connect with the service organization.
Oh, so anybody is welcome to come to the meetings?
It is not intended. It is intended for service organizations.
Okay.
But it is a place to find volunteer opportunities.
Okay.
They can also reach out to us by email or by telephone, and we'll try and connect them.
Okay.
But there are organizations like the Central Coast Veterans Helping Veterans that has a very large, over 35 mentors now, which is providing volunteer services, not just for the Veterans Treatment Court, but also for assisted living for senior veterans. And so the volunteer opportunities are expanding. And I encourage veterans who are listening and to not just come out to the resource fair in April, but also reach out to us to connect to the service community. We'll happy to provide that service.
And for, you know, for people that are listening that want to support veterans too, like you said, it's more than just saying thank you for your service, right? I mean, how does that affect you when somebody just says thank you for your service?
Alan?
Well, you know, I mean, I thank them back. I never went in the service to be thanked, quite frankly, you know. And what I did, I did. And it's just part of my life. But I understand that there are those people that to whom that means a great deal. And I have absolutely no problem with someone coming up to me and saying that. I take it for what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can say that. But you can also put some action behind it,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for saying thank you. But there are opportunities to be involved, to provide, to be a landlord, to be an employer, to make a donation to people like Central Coast Veterans Helping Veterans. Those are all charities, and they need money as well as your thanks.
And they stay local, too.
And it stays local.
And it stays local, which is really important. I really want to thank my guests for today's show, Paul Worsham, President of the San Luis Obispo Veterans Service Collaborative, Alan McKean, Treasurer of the San Luis Obispo Veterans Service Collaborative. Next week, join Fred Monroe and his guests as they're going to be talking a little bit about Central Coast water resource management and how they're preparing for another year of drought with a proposed strategy to increase precipitation with cloud seeding next week. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX, made possible through generous underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. Your questions and comments for future shows are always appreciated. Send them to voices@kcbx.org. I am Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for listening.